Welcome. You're listening to NDTI's Talking Inclusion series of podcasts. My name's Drew Edwards, and today I'm joined by Helen and Jane, who are going to talk about our work on the evaluation of the Model City London project. Can I start by asking you to introduce yourselves, please?
Okay, so I'm Helen and I'm an associate with NDTI, and I was part of the evaluation learning team working with Model City London coalitions and Laureus colleagues over the last 3 years.
And I'm Jane, and I've been working alongside Helen for the whole of that time, and supporting one of the coalitions right from the start and the other one picked up towards the end.
Can you tell me about the project and how NDTI have been involved?
So Model City London was a 3-year programme that was brought to the UK by Laureus Sport for Good Foundation as part of their Sport for Good Cities initiative across the world. So it first started off in the States, in Atlanta and New Orleans, and they brought it to London because it fitted, the whole approach of Model City fitted with some of the kind of ethos and approaches to achieving change through sport and physical activity that was taking place in London. So Model City is an approach which is about involving local communities, everybody in that local community, people who live there, people who work there, a whole range of different organisations and stakeholders, to come together to identify their priorities for change and how sport and physical activity and different opportunities, new opportunities for participating, can help to achieve those priorities.
And really importantly as well, Laureus are actually a grant giver. So this process of bringing people together is actually about grant giving in effect, but it's so much more than that. The grant giving kind of lubricates the whole process, but in some ways it's not the only point of what Model Cities is about.
And what's our role being as part of the project? How have we been involved?
So we were commissioned to be the evaluation and learning partner to the whole programme in London. And we were brought in to late 2018. So they'd already done a lot of kind of initial scoping work, trying to figure out where were the best locations to try this approach in London. So rather than saying this is something we can do in lots of different places, they wanted to really, Laureus wanted to learn about what would help this take root, this approach to mobilising local people and resources through those grants, what would make this work really, really well, and what can we learn from it? So they did a whole load of sort of scoping exercises, community conversations, exploration about where to locate the work. And in particular, they were thinking about communities that may not have had those sorts of opportunities and resources, were maybe overlooked and felt marginalised out of the frame. So really thinking about who would benefit the most, but where there was some traction and some energy and motivation to take part. So we were brought in and commissioned as the evaluation and learning partner once 3 locations had been identified, which were Hounslow, Haringey and Barking.
All the way through and from the very beginning, they were interested in building in evidence and learning right from the start. And they were really interested in building people's capacity around evidence and learning. So we weren't a kind of external evaluator studying what was happening. We were absolutely a partner, and our role was about helping often really small organisations feel a bit more confident about evidencing the impact of what they were doing.
And I think that was one of the things that really appealed to us about being a partner, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think particularly just that sense from Laureus that they were really open to very different sorts of evidence and looking at evidence in very different ways. So, for example, one of the things that we worked with the coalitions on was how do they capture stories of change when they realise that collecting stories is a really useful way of showing what difference you're making. It was quite liberating, I think, for a lot of organisations.
So what was different about this project?
I think what made this different, or makes this different because it's ongoing, is that genuine commitment to working with local communities and very, very local, small grassroots organisations, as Jane was saying, and mobilising people in a way that made sure that people's voices and different perspectives and priorities for change were heard and acted upon. So we're not going to impose this opportunity and improve facilities, although that may be something that people want to do. It's about unearthing what really matters to local people and what, and understanding why those things matter, and then thinking really carefully together in those local coalitions about, so what's the best way of addressing these issues? What can we do collectively as well as individually to create the right conditions for change and to increase opportunities for local people?
Mm-hmm. And I think, Drew, I mean, in terms of what you would see wouldn't necessarily look massively different from what was happening elsewhere, that the things that were being delivered were absolutely the priorities chosen by local people and making those decisions on the basis of what they have decided they want to be different in their local area.
And sometimes it's about where those things took place, wasn't it? So you'd see some of those classes happening in places where they hadn't happened before, because people couldn't get there, they couldn't afford them, they thought that's not for me. And maybe some of those classes are going to take place in the local park rather than in a sports centre or in a school, wherever it would make sense for local people. And I think one of the things that we found, or they discovered as well, you know, as well, was that one thing leads to another.
That one of the examples that people always talked about in one of the areas that I was supporting was a touch rugby session that took place in a local rugby club, but with this extraordinarily diverse group of local people. So, well, there was one group of young women from the local Muslim community who were all playing touch rugby, which wasn't something that they were used to seeing. It was a very, very different group of people doing something that previously they might have thought wasn't for them.
So the evaluation finished sort of during the pandemic. And COVID has changed quite a lot of projects, community projects in particular, because the evaluation says they achieved an impressive amount of activities. So how did they adapt to ensure that success?
Yes, it was quite astonishing, really, that just as things were getting going, the grants were being allocated to meet those local priorities in each of the coalitions, and things were just getting to be established and put in place. And it was around that time that the first lockdown happened. So straight away, there was this need to adapt and to really think about, so how are we going to do this then? And if you're casting all of our minds back to the beginning of that first lockdown, none of us really knew, did we, how long that was going to last for, how it was going to affect everybody. And the first lockdown was hard. People weren't able to necessarily access online activities, you know, because they didn't have the equipment, or they didn't have space to do it in. So people had to think together very deeply about how do we keep this going. Laureus put in place some emergency measures to ensure that grants were made available or resources were brought forward. There was no question of things stopping. It was more about changing the pace, changing the method of delivery, thinking about what would help people connect, keep connected, to reach out and engage people who perhaps hadn't been involved so far. So a number of practical but also important support measures, I think, were put in place at the beginning to give people the space to say, OK, we don't know how we're going to quite do this yet, but we are going to do it. And bit by bit, they discovered ways of either, you know, using some of those grants to provide tablets for people, really thinking about, well, where do people not have the ability to get online or keep connected online, do sport online, what works and what doesn't work for local people. And as the first lockdown restrictions eased, that certainly made things a little bit easier for people to get together in small groups, to meet outdoors, and to use sport as a way to kind of get people kind of keeping fit, keeping active, but most importantly of all, keeping connected.
And I think all of that was possible because the coalitions had already been working together for, gosh, about a year, I think, at that point when the first lockdown came. So they'd already established some really solid relationships, really solid, supportive partnerships. And again, I remember talking to people who said, you know, we knew we just had to work together on this. It was something none of us had faced before. Together we were stronger. We knew we could help our communities because of the relationships and partnerships we had in place.
I remember just before the lockdown, people were reflecting on the journey to kind of really develop those relationships and partners. I remember people were saying, God, it takes time, doesn't it? This is taking a long time to get started. The time it took to really get to know each other, as well as to put those arrangements in place in the coalitions, meant that they could adapt then. So taking the time to get those relationships and partnerships right really did pay off in the end, didn't it?
So. Yeah.
So we haven't really talked about what the key findings were from the evaluation.
What do you hope will happen with the findings?
One of the key findings really was recognising that sustainable change takes time and having those really good foundations in place. It does take a lot of building, but it's also very sensitive work. And I think I was really impressed by the way that Laureus went about that, in that they were very clear that they were there to support and not necessarily to lead. That is a really important piece of learning, which actually goes across a lot of our work. It's not just about the Sports for Good world. It's key, I think. And I think for me, one of the other things is about the way in which a programme like this, if it's approached in the right way, if it is about enabling local people to agree their own priorities and the actions that need to happen, it can be a catalyst for all sorts of things happening that you wouldn't expect. So I think one of the things we saw was a lot of community entrepreneurs, for want of a better phrase, but people who are a force for good in the community, who wanted to make a difference but had never had a platform before. And we saw lots of, for example, community interest companies spinning out of Model City that now have a future, a sustainable future, because of that programme. And the grant funding they received was an important part of that, but it just enabled them to get started.
Just adding to what you were saying, Jane, I think one of the key experiences of working alongside these coalitions and colleagues at Laureus was about capturing and understanding change at many, many different levels, if you like. So what makes that work for individuals? What makes this work for the organisations and those very small grassroots groups and networks that were taking part, and what works for the coalition when people come together? Seeing the different kinds of evidence that we've talked about come together, but really try and capture what makes things work at those different levels. So it was understanding what makes this work for young people, for older people, for people from different communities. And I just, one of the key things that always stands out for me was the important understanding and learning that what makes those opportunities work for individuals across all ages and different experiences were the skills and relationships they had with coaches. These people who were amazing mentors, sports people, but most importantly, able to engage and motivate a wide variety, huge diversity of people. And things hinged, those experiences hinged on those individuals. So we did a survey of people who participated in all of those different opportunities across the three coalitions. And the thing that really stood out every respondent was what makes this work is the coach. And this is about the entrepreneurs, it is about those community leaders, and it's about people who have really taken the time and the energy and adapted their skills and interests to engage with people.
So that's great. What kind of things are still going on, Helen?
So one of the amazing things is the coalitions are still going strong in each of the areas. They don't look exactly the same. They've diversified even more, and they're strengthening themselves in terms of mobilising in more resources. So not reliant on grants that they had at the beginning, but really thinking about how to collaborate to identify the resources that they need to keep things going. They've got funding in place in each of those coalitions, different kinds of funding locally and from across London to keep the various activities and opportunities going, but also keep changing them and responding to the needs of local communities. Really thinking quite carefully and sensitively about who are we not reaching, who hasn't benefited, or who have we not seen so far. So a real sense of ongoing learning and ongoing change, but they're not going anywhere. They're staying and really thinking about how they can carry on and connect and be part of other local developments in those three boroughs.
Was there anything that you picked up in the recommendations or during the evaluation that you thought could be improved, that's still to do?
I think for me, it's not so much something that could be improved, but I think that question about sustainability is really tricky. Mm. How, as a funding body, which Laureus is, do you sensitively start to withdraw and not leave people feeling abandoned, I think. And they have done that. They are doing that really sensitively. They are still supporting the three coalitions. But I do think it's quite tricky. And certainly, I mean, one thing we haven't talked about so far is the fact that Model City is expanding. And it's expanding with us still as the evaluation partner, which is great. And we're now working alongside coalitions in Delhi and Paris. So we're going global. But I think one of the things that they found and was a bit of an issue in London was just having to have those really clear messages about timescales, funding commitment, expectations about what the coalitions are going to have to do to become sustainable in the long term. And I think a lot of that is really quite sensitive and difficult.
There was something else that I think is about learning, that carrying on that commitment to learning that's been there throughout. But in every new location, in every Sport for Good location, I think there is a real understanding now that you have to pay attention to the local context, the local environment, and what makes this work in London is different in those three locations, in those three coalitions. And what makes this work in Paris and in Delhi is very, very different as well. So really paying attention to the local environment. Who are the key players here? Who wants to be involved? Who needs to be involved? What are those? Going right back to the beginning and thinking about what are the local issues here? What are the priorities for change? And how can we work together to address those? The way that that is done and people's experiences in being involved is fundamentally different from place to place. And you can't easily take the learning from one place and plonk it somewhere else. You have to go through that learning experience yourselves. So there are no shortcuts.
So what's been your favourite thing about working on the project? I'll come to you first, Jane.
OK, thanks, Drew. Oh, without hesitation, being able to spend time with and hearing the stories from those amazing individuals who are doing great work in their communities. I remember some of the kind of case study work that we did to look in detail at some of the organisations who were involved in Model City were just inspirational, wonderful, wonderful people who perhaps were kind of struggling to find how to channel some of that energy and some of that real wish to make changes and improvements in their community, who, as a result of Model City, had just gone on to achieve fantastic things, and who'd found a platform and a focus for their work, and who are going on to do even better things in their communities. And that felt like a joy and a privilege.
Absolutely. The stories are definitely what stay with you. Really powerful experiences that are being shared by people who have tasted something new, been part of something different, had those opportunities hadn't existed before. And like Jane, though having the privilege of being able to spend a bit of time just listening and understanding why something was so important for someone or group of people. And I was really, I loved working with, there was a dance project in one of the coalition areas, and listening to the dance teachers and leaders and the young people who had been part in forming that dance project, which is now an enterprise, was just amazing. I learned a huge amount from them, and it's just really lovely hearing those personal stories of what's made a difference, and sometimes also people being really honest about what was difficult and what helped them keep going in really exceptionally difficult circumstances over the course of the pandemic. So yeah, the stories are what make this stand out. And Laureus and the coalitions have recently produced this amazing video. I encourage people to go on YouTube. If you Google Model City London video, it will come up, and perhaps we can include a link to it, which are the people from the coalitions and some of the people whose stories were shared, just sharing the kind of the highlights and the light bulb moments for them. And that just captures it all, really.
That was leading me on very nicely to the final bit, was how can people find out more about the project? I know we've got the evaluation on our website, and we will put a link to the video that you've mentioned. Are there other ways that people can find out about the project?
Yeah, there is a Model City London page as well, web page on the Laureus website. If you also Google Sport for Good Cities, that will take you through to Laureus's website, and also all the different kind of coalitions that exist around the world's links as well, where you can find out more about the approach, but you can also find out more about all of those different locations and what makes it special in those different places.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again with our next podcast in 2 weeks' time.